Brain Candy Podcast, episode 481. Are you still reeling from this New Year intoxication?
New Year, same old me.
Right, you know, same old shit.
I'm fine. I'm not making any predictions. That's what I'm going with. My goal, fine. And, you know, because I got such a nice little head start in the end of the year with just, like, getting more in touch with my body again, being more committed to working out, and just really what it did is I gave myself a routine. So I feel pretty good, and I'm like rolling that routine into
the new
year. Hey,
that is all you need to be feeling.
Yeah. So life is good, with the exception, Susie.
Yes. Sarah,
am a peaceful, like, little... I think of it as like the lotus flower.
Yeah.
That's like above the muddy pond, but also in the middle of a hurricane.
What seems to be the problem, Sarah?
So on the last episode, I was like, I have nothing to complain
about. You were optimistic.
Because things are so nice. Why do I do this to myself? It's always like right around the first of the year. I should just stay really pessimistic around the beginning of the year because
things took a dark turn.
Things took a real dark turn. Mm-hmm. No joke. Like 24 hours after that episode comes out or we talk about it, whichever, very soon. I hear a very familiar noise.
That's so funny. Was it a splish splash?
It was a splish splash, Susie. It was a splishing, and it was a splashing.
Oh, no.
And I was having a none of it. And let me tell you, I learned the great thing is, like, you know, my mom always says that the universe gives you lessons over and over. And if you don't learn how to respond, like, if you keep using the same old equation, and not getting the right answer, the universe is like, oh, well, here, I'll let her try it again.
Yeah.
Keep trying. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently I needed to learn a few more lessons about what to do when there's a flood.
What happened this time?
I do not know what is going on.
Yeah,
I'm really worried about my upstairs neighbors. Someone needs to check on them. Like, for real. I don't know if I need to, like... I don't know how to help them, really. Like, and their water bill must be through the roof. Well, actually, it is through the roof. It's through my roof. That's exactly where the water bill is gone.
Literally.
Because I don't know. They went out of town. It was probably midnight. Well, that's what they always say.
Oh.
But I do think that they go out of town because it was Christmas. And this was Christmas. No joke.
Like Christmas Eve.
It was the night before. It was Christmas Eve Eve.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So they were out of town. And last time this happened, I freaked out because I hear like dripping and water and the ground squishy. And I think, oh my God, this is going to like, in my mind, it goes to, this is going to be expensive. So I like freak out mostly about that. And after this has happened a few times, I realized, oh, it's so nice when you don't own the place, you don't have to be the one to pay for that stuff.
Yeah.
So that is what I learned the first time. I might freak out a little more when it is my own house. So I'll have to learn that new lesson all over then. But I was much calmer this time. And in fact, I knew last time I freaked out and, my boyfriend was not too like, he was like, okay, can we like,
he pulled the old like calm down routine.
Yeah. He's like, you need to like stow your crazy for a bit, which is my words, not his. But, so I did that and I was like, I'm just going to throw a bucket under this shit and I'm going to call it a night. And, you know what? They're not going to take care of this for another 8 hours anyway, because I remember what happened last time. So I just, went to bed. It was not exactly the most restful sleep because in the back of my mind, I was like, I know that this is going on. I put as many buckets of water as I could. Something happened where, I don't know if like some leak, whatevs. It took so long. It probably took another, like, finally at 9 a.m., like, I get a hold of somebody because they're all gone for the holidays. And
sure.
Everything gets rerouted to a place in, like, New York City, and then they call somebody who, I don't know, whatevs. But, yeah, it took hours, and
Would
by
that
time,
that
all
like
of the...
Was it like a drip or like a gush?
It was multiple drips. It was the same situation right. where it's dripping, but then it's dripping onto pipes that then are making the water splash everywhere. So yeah. You can't catch it. It's right. just like a rainstorm in the house. And like the whole carpet is full. And I swear the people before us had cats because I never smelt anything. And then it flooded the office rug, mm-hmm. and they came in with a vacuum, like one of those wet vac things, and you know, mm-hmm. then a rug cleaner, and now it smells like cat pee.
Ew!
What is that about? That's I think it was okay. trapped under there. You know how it like does that?
And yeah, then it was put, latent, and then it's, and like, then they
yes, and then they like
life.
Reactivated it. So yeah, so basically, well, we had had an air blower and like a vacuum thing running all through, and then a dehumidifier, which my plants hate.
Oh, no.
Could you imagine?
That's dehumidifier. A real tragedy.
Right.
You
I'm
should
spraying
ask them
every
to
single
pay
day.
For those, replace those plants.
No, you know what? I tried to do that last time, not with the plants, but with other stuff. And they directed me to my renter's insurance so they can go.
You're lying.
Yeah. They said they wouldn't even give us a place to stay. Like they won't even put you up in a hotel. Renter's insurance does all of that. Can you believe that?
No. What if you don't have it?
No, you have to. You can't live here without it.
No. How do you prove it? You have to show them your declaration page or something. Oh, wow. That's...
Yeah.
My God.
A nightmare.
I hate big apartment trademarks.
I hate them. I'm never living. I never. We're moving. Moving to the suburbs. I can't wait.
Yeah. You got to get out of there.
We are getting out. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. It feels like I'm. Nobody's more excited to move to the suburbs than me. And all of my friends think it's so funny.
Yeah.
They're like, when they find out that I'm moving back to my hometown, they're like,
"Hey, that
you're
makes
going
two of us.
There? Why?"
And honestly, I'm like, well,
because
I get
it's
it.
So. And they're like, "Isn't it boring and quiet?" I'm like, "Yes,
correct.
I can't." Wait for boring and quiet. I am so ready. Oh, my Lord.
You're going to be so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to, like, de-stress. And I'm just going to have space. And I'm going to be able to, like, garden. And my plants are going to be so happy. So I've got everything attached to, like, those UV lights and things that are, like, making art. Because who knew it was going to be, like, dark in my house in the winter. Mm. So I had to, like, bring in some artificial light. But, yeah, that's my whole, you know, big old rant on complaining. But
oh, that's awful.
You know, it is what it is, but I'm trying to make the best of it and, you know, doing a lot of reading, doing a lot of, oh God, I loved our book club pick.
Thank God, because I hated mine.
Oh,
you're
really?
Gonna, yeah. It's so bad.
Oh my
I hate
gosh.
When that happens because like you're, it's
you?
Like the thing where we're optimistic again.
Oh, don't do any of that.
I never learned
things. Never learn. But you know what? That it's funny because like maybe secretly you're like the optimistic one.
That's why I'm so happy right now because you're in a bitter mood and it feels really great.
Well, I'm in a bitter mood because I feel like people aren't following the rules and like the rules or like just like
for real. I have had it with you people.
For goodness sakes.
Not the brain.
Don't go anywhere. No, you guys are great.
The public at large.
I know because you buy our mask.
Yes, that's right.
So, which, by the way, if you guys don't know, works doubles as an amazing hair turban for sleeping if you have not seen me demonstrate
that video. I was going to say, you got to put the tutorial on your Instagram. Do an IGTV or something.
I will. Oh, you know what? That actually reminds me of something that I read recently that I wanted to share that I thought was like a perfect thing to share with brainiacs because this is one of those studies where it's like, yeah, duh, but... It also is like a nice reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that the best thing for feeling sad is to learn something.
I mean, that is so true.
Yes. And like I sometimes kind of forget. I think we fall out of the habit or it becomes like, oh my gosh, you know what? I just had like an aha moment.
What?
I was talking with a friend about how there's pretty much nothing that's really good for us that when we get out of the habit of doing it, isn't so painful and excruciating to start back up again.
Yeah, that's true.
Even if we love it.
Mm-hmm.
Reading, eating healthy, exercising,
yep,
taking
meditating.
Care of your brain, meditating,
mm-hmm.
learning something.
I know. You got to keep the momentum. That's why I'm obsessed with my routines.
Yes. Yeah. And that, maybe that's it. It's like you got to start step one, routine.
Yeah.
And then step two, once you get that down, then add like the extra stuff of like, okay, how can I boost my happiness? So this was cool. So these guys did a study, it was a picture in the article of men, which is so annoying. So now I assume the researchers are men. So that's my own gender bias in there that I have to like work through. So these people did a study where basically they arranged it so the participants were rewarded if they were able to predict which race car. So it was a race car and they were trying to predict which race car was going to win. And the closer they were, the more money they got paid out. And there would be different trials. Or there was one group where everything was kind of randomized. And if they guessed right, they got money. And so it was pretty random. Then there was another group where they set it up so that there was a little bit of like predictability or like the ability to kind of learn. And the group that there was the chance to recognize patterns was the group that was happier. And the people who were able to recognize the patterns, regardless of how much money they got, were the happiest.
Hmm.
So you like people like recognizing patterns.
That's true.
More than they like even being rewarded with money.
Right.
And this is why I always said yes to doing the challenge.
Why?
Because I love patterns and recognizing things in the puzzles and the mm-hmm. games and the reward of figuring it out and being was and even just don't you feel like being on the challenge was a puzzle in and of itself?
Yes.
And that succeeding in that was more I feel like we underestimate maybe, you know, we always ask ourselves, like, why do people keep coming back who, like, never win money or they lose and, you know, they got all their money taken away from them and they still come back. I mean, not me, even though I would have. But, you know, I think we underestimate how much we enjoy being the one to just solve something.
Mm-hmm. Make
more
sense of something.
More so than winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I would agree
with
that.
Do you have a favorite one that you won on there? Oh, besides the one where you beat me and won all the money?
That's not my favorite at all. That one's humiliating. Remember, Kenny carried me.
No, but like the
puzzle
itself. I think
itself.
That puzzle at the end, you definitely won that.
Yeah, that part was satisfying. That was a really hard puzzle. Was it just me or do you think that was extra hard?
Susie, I think it was one of the hardest puzzles that I have ever seen in the challenge. And I still, to this day, can't really recreate it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
In my mind.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the other ones, I'm like, oh, yeah, you put this stack here and you put this stack here. And then you try to get that one and that one. And it's like simple because it's been done time and time again. This one was like they took a puzzle that was, you know, one of those like ancient
right.
Like old, you know, better used with sticks and like, you know, little pieces of, I don't know, carved animal tusk that like somebody found. They're like, figured out it was a game. And then it was like lost in time. And then only brought back for this one challenge.
At the time, like, I don't really even know what I'm saying or how it's working, but I know that it is. So don't stop.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was really
you're so
hard.
Smart.
No, that was just like one of those weird things. It's cool when your brain does that. Like with math a lot, that'll happen where I'm like, I'm doing it and I know the answer, but I don't really know how.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do because it kind of makes me think that you were in the flow. And after watching the most amazing movie, you were so right, Susie. Soul was so good. I mean, I didn't see exactly where it was going, but I saw... Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I can see what the theme, because I told Ren I had never seen, I didn't see a single preview for it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what the concept was. I thought it was about jazz music.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. And so I was like crying already because I was like, look at the representation. It's so amazing. Mm-hmm. The same way I did when I saw Wonder Woman, the first one and the second one. So annoying. But they're not even great, that great of movies. I just bawl my freaking eyes out. Because I'm like, oh gosh, little girls are going to be able to play in a different way.
I mean, that's true. That is exciting.
Yeah. So, but Soul really did it for me. And, the way they talked about being in the flow and how you kind of go to that like other dimension.
The magical place. I like how they framed it as like the in between Earth and the spiritual world. Because that is what it feels like.
Yes.
Where you're in both at the same time.
And if my mom sees that, she's going to be like, well, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I feel like anybody, it does such a good job of visually representing what that like in between space is. And even the comments about, oh my gosh, first of all, if you guys haven't seen this movie, I'm not even spoiling it because I can't. It's impossible to spoil this movie. Mm-hmm. Just go see it. It's even if you know every single thing that happens, it's still the cutest and you'd still be like bawling your eyes out. So great. But I feel like even the things that they said about how what we're seeing is just a visual manifestation of what your brain needs to see to feel comfortable. I'm mm-hmm. like, they're saying that in a kid's movie. I'm dying.
I know.
And it really does line up with science and math and like, you know, exactly what I saw in my eyes when I did DMT. So
that's what made me really happy was that the film was addressing these really big existential ideas.
Yes.
But that we can all understand and we all recognize immediately. I love that there was not a kid in it. Like the kid wasn't, you know, there's not a kid
as
like the
main
character. And I love that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so great.
And they were like doing what the mystics do, like like showing how music and God and math and your brain are all connected.
Yes.
But they made it understandable for young brains. It's just really beautiful.
Young brains and old brains. Mm-hmm. All my clients are getting prescribed this movie.
Yeah. It's essential viewing.
It's essential. And there is a scene where they're talking about being disconnected from yourself and disconnected from, you know, your life force and being like a lost soul. Mm-hmm. And when anxiety and depression and worry takes over, and there's a scene where you're inside like a lost soul's mind. And if I haven't been there, if people like that was so, I could cry just thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yes, that's what it feels like. And for people to see that and then know this is how you get out. Oh, it just does it to me. It's like if people just see that and Inside Out, we're like, okay, there we go. There's our lesson on emotion.
That is right. When I watched it, I said to myself, this is my Inside Out. Because I felt like Inside Out really spoke to the way you understand the world and human behavior and stuff. And for me, this was that it was my language for understanding the world. I could not pull myself together.
Like, Suze, the music part, I couldn't stop thinking about you.
It was so good. I was like, I need to get a grip here.
No, tell me what really did it for you.
What you just said about how all that stuff that gets in the way, depression, anxiety, et cetera, and mm-hmm. how, you know, you can be your own worst enemy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know, anybody that's having depression or anxiety right now, which is everyone, mm-hmm. might appreciate the message and the realization that the beauty of the world is all around you if you want it.
Yes. And yes. Oh my God. Yes. That was a really beautiful reminder that we have to like stop and take time to recognize those little things that are beautiful. And, you know, routine is so important, but routine without
awareness.
Mm-hmm. Without intention.
Without intention. Because mm-hmm. they even said that. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, this movie is so smart. Now I'm remembering a whole bunch of stuff from it. That being in the flow can be so great, but you can get lost in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be distracted from other things or get lost in what that is. And oh man, it's just so... And yeah, it's so beautifully made.
It was
made.
Profound. It was.
It really, really was. I was, oh my God, I was like, and then Ren afterwards was like, are you okay? And I'm like, no,
I am not.
These are just happy tears. I'm like, and sad tears. They're just tears.
It's
like,
moving. It is.
It was so moving. It's just so beautiful that can be conveyed in a way that is a message I feel like any age can understand. And it's, I think it's, you know, I use a lot of metaphors when I work with clients and to just because it's so helpful. And I feel like this entire movie served as one and it was like, you know, helped show like, oh, this is what that is. Oh, when you meditate, mm-hmm. this is like where you go.
That's
oh,
right.
The guy twirling the sign on the corner is also in a meditative trance, And maybe our rubric or like, you know, for what happiness is or what, you know, success is just like wrong or
mm-hmm.
everybody's is different. And what makes everybody like the spark that like brings you joy is different for everybody.
That's
and
right.
the personalities. I was like, oh my God, this is so funny. And so like our podcast will love this.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard so many people say that it's just amazing on social media.
Yes. I was thinking about, you know, stress and things like that lately, only because I keep having conversations about it. And sometimes as a therapist, I wonder, this is more like me asking you questions now, like I'm told the tables are turning. So sometimes I think that I have a really, really high awareness mm-hmm. of the things that are happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, do you think the awareness of something like stress makes stress worse? Which is worse, stress or the awareness of stress? And like, if we're aware of it, does it make it great worse?
Gosh.
Or like, because there are people who are like, oh yeah, no, I'm not.
Is there a correct answer to this?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. This is me. That I'm hoping maybe you know. Because I'm wondering like how stressed am I really if I'm just aware. You know, the same way I told you, you know, I'm super aware when my immune system is working and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it's fighting off a cold right now. And I can tell.
Right.
I like know when it's going to work. Like
when you
I can,
say
like,
you
feel,
know the moment you ovulate and all that stuff.
I do, the second. Yeah. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, there it is. I knew this month too. It was on the right. And so I feel like, do I just have a high awareness but a low level? How can you even measure your own stress level? How do I not know the answer to this?
Do you think it makes it worse to be very aware of it?
You know, I think it's all, maybe it's kind of like the hangnail or like the fold in your sock.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you just like carry on with your day and you just go, but then is it like ignoring, because I'm in the business of not ignoring signals of stress. And those are like,
right.
like things that we need to de-stress. And I kind of see it as more like a tank of hormones of like, we have to empty the tank. And the way we empty the tank is by countering that with like the good stuff. But maybe like I can read the tank when like, I'm like, the tank is, there's stuff in the tank when it's only at like 5% full. When
maybe,
everybody else are like, oh, what's up?
Maybe the
tank?
Difference is between like awareness and making it your focus.
Mm.
I don't know. Because it seems like if you start focusing on it, then you know how that is. Like if you have a paper cut and then you think about it.
Okay. Awareness without action.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds therapist-y. Look at that. Awareness without action is there's probably is some saying like that. Awareness without action is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like
it probably
just
come up with a good thought.
It feels like it increases the suffering. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you're aware and then choosing. Oh, absolutely. Okay, this is good. Because I was having this kind of thought with myself of like, should I just kind of like
ignore
the stress? Sometimes, you know what I mean?
Sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
Like,
that's interesting.
I know that we're supposed to always be in the moment or whatever, but sometimes.
Right. And it's more for like little things that maybe I worry about that I shouldn't. Like, you know, I think I'm just getting older and I always think, oh my God, all my hair is falling out. But it's not all falling out. I have like a ton of it. But
do you feel stressed right now? Not right this second, but I mean.
No, not really. But then I think, oh my God, is it that I'm stressed and I'm like breaking out and like, you know, like I feel like. But that could, that just, maybe I'm just like wearing a mask a lot, which I, that'll do it. So, and then it's like, maybe I'm looking at those unnecessary things and drawing unnecessary like conclusions because I don't feel stressed.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So that's what's kind of my question. Like, if you don't feel it, like where, what, how does one know? How do you know?
I'm stressed enough for the both of us.
Yeah. How do you know?
I have physiological responses, you know, like my heart races all day.
Oh, yeah.
It's not healthy.
Yeah. Okay. See, that's what I'm talking about. Like I have that too. And then I can be like,
your heart races?
Well, not all day, but every now and then. And then I'll get like this wave of anxiety that comes from absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, oh my God, I'm really worried. What, but usually I have to like say, well, you know, there's, you could be worried about this and this. What can you do right now? Okay, nothing right now. And then that's it. But then.
I was like breathing into a paper bag before we even called each other today.
Oh my gosh. Me too, for some reason.
No.
Maybe we're just out of practice about this.
No, I get like that every time.
It's me too, but almost me too. No, not really.
Wait, maybe why sometimes. Do you? Oh my gosh, are we breaking up?
No, I. Oh my God, could you imagine? No, it's more like you're about to go on stage.
Oh, that's
like
that's
that,
a good,
or like a roller coaster is about to start.
Okay, that makes me feel
like
better
that.
About it.
And also more like, do I have everything prepared?
Yeah.
And you know me, it's like I have the same exact feeling before I walk into every single classroom.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so excited about what we're going to talk about today. I can't wait to raise my hand. Shit, where the fuck did I put my homework?
Right.
It's like that.
Okay.
And usually I don't even think about that until 5 minutes before I walk into class, which is like, you know, not the right way to be. So.
Huh.
This is basically just like Sarah's therapy session that we're having on air.
That you're
that
giving
totally
or you're receiving?
Receiving. Yeah. You're kind of like walking me through right here. You know, I was just thinking about stress and thinking about how different people, you know, are aware of it and handle it. And because we talk about it a lot on here, but sometimes there are those words that we say, but we don't really know like how we know we feel them, you know? And, oh, I know what got me thinking about it. Because I watched that documentary, The Vow.
Oh, did you?
Yes. And there was this, oh my God, yes. There was this, I'm only into episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. And
I hear there's a lot of volleyball.
There is a lot of volleyball, which I have a theory on.
What?
And the guy who...
So this is about the cult, the like sex branding weirdness cult.
Nexium. Yes, that was started by this guy named Keith Raniere or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or Raniere or something like that. And he's probably like 5'3", 5'4". And he really wants everybody to play volleyball. And I think, and he's like teaching everybody lessons.
Oh,
like,
God.
I think that is.
How can a guy that wants everyone to play volleyball run a successful cult?
It's so weird, but you could see it as soon as he has this kind of like, I'm super smart.
Yeah, I hate
and
those
then,
guys.
And he's also, oh, he's like the hugger who kisses everybody on the lips.
Ew.
Yeah, you gotta see it.
I
don't know why I resisted for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Because I thought I had like, I'm like, I heard about this. I listened to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friend Sarah, shout out Sarah, who's an excellent quarantiner, by the way. She always follows all the rules. I just love her. Yeah. I know, because when they're my friends and I'm like, I can't see them, I'm like, good, good on ya.
Yeah, so there you go. I know what you mean.
I like that. So got to give credit where credit's due. So she was like, you have to see this. And I did. And he definitely is, you could see why he, it comes off as him like having this, he calls it technology. Mm-hmm. Like he plays it off like he's hacked the human brain. Like he know it's just this simple. The thing I'm like super, I'm annoyed with a bunch of stuff that he does, but with that, he takes these concepts that are elements of some like,
they're rooted
therapy
in truth.
Models.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I told Ren, I'm like, this technology, that's like the cognitive triangle. Mm-hmm. I talked to you about that months ago. That's what that is. Let me show you how your feelings, behaviors, and actions are all connected. Blah, right. blah, blah. But guess what? I don't make you pay $10,000 to get that.
That's what they all do.
One lump sum.
That's what Scientology
and then hold,
does, too.
Right? Mm-hmm. And hold the secrets and say, well, I'll tell you about what happens with those feelings. And that's awful. I'm like, no, you get that in session one with me. Yeah, it's just like that. And it's set up so they hold on, they're different levels that you have to reach,
right.
and then you become the teacher who does it. And then I think people have to like pay for sessions with people to, it's essentially what it sounds so similar to Scientology.
Yeah.
So similar. And in the first few episodes, they do that wonderful thing that cult documentaries do where they make you go, I don't see what the problem is. I worry that I could join this. Like Ren was like, so far this is sounding like a good executive leadership program. I'm
truly,
like, that's how they get you.
That's what it feels like when you learn about Jonestown. I mean, had a beautiful origin of wanting equality, racial harmony. I mean, it was a great sounding thing, but then, you know, then
do
it's
you
not.
Think? That we will see a rise in cults?
Gosh, I don't. I feel like I feel about the internet in general. Like the digital world has made it easier to debunk things, but it has also made it easier to spread lies. And I feel like cults are in this category of like, you'd think that would make it so people would realize, oh, this is a scam or, oh, this is a cult. But in other ways, it makes it easier for the cult to sort of brand themselves as like,
yeah,
great.
Operate.
Yeah. So I guess it could go either way.
You know, it's like, and can you remind me where the line, like, where is the line? You know, there are certain elements that make things a cult.
Right. Well, there is no like official measure. That's what makes it really complicated. And that's why scholars tend to call them new religious movements. Because it's sort of like, this is new. It's outside. It's not a sect, which would be an offshoot of an existing religion. And a sect can turn into a cult. But a cult is separate and independent from, you know, anything else. There's usually a charismatic leader. They're very controlling. They require like a lot of secrecy and devotion from the members, stuff like that. Like we see patterns, but we don't have an official like, here's what it is.
Yeah. You know, and just your description of that makes me think that we're like a nation primed for people who are seeking connect, like. Time like this would make people very susceptible to that.
When I feel
like disconnected,
the decrease in people going to traditional religion, like churches and stuff, means that a lot of people are wandering around looking for meaning.
Yes.
And so that can lead to a lot of feeling, you know, with conspiracy theories too, you see that where people want to feel like they know something that not everyone else knows and that they're like an insider of a community and a group. And so,
well, if this isn't, that connects it to the thing I was saying about the best thing for feeling sad is to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're like, oh my God, this is the answer. It was all this simple.
Yeah.
And you're more interested in that and recognizing the patterns than even the, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I get it. I understand why people get sucked into it, but it's real sad. Especially like the conspiracy theory stuff now. You know, like my mom said she's not getting the vaccine, stuff like that.
Oh no. That's scary.
I know.
I mean, what do you say?
I didn't
you can't
say anything.
Fight. You don't say anything.
I just assumed. I said, "Mom, you're not getting the vaccine, are you?" And she's like, "Oh no, I'm against vaccines."
Wow.
So.
Well, I'm pro.
I am pro as well. I would take it in my eyeball. Science. We had that doctor on. I forget her last name, but her name's Nina, and she was one of the authors I interviewed. And I read a tweet where she said she would take it in her eyeball if it was offered to her right now. And that's like a doctor saying that, okay?
Yeah, doctor, right. And ever since we had Larry Brilliant, shout out to Larry, Dr. Brilliant, I feel like that it just really – no, I didn't need any more convincing, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it really drove home just how – not simple – but how effective things can be if people are on board and how important that is.
Right.
And how not being on board makes things really not effective.
Right. But, well, and if you have sort of reputable organizations or people that everyone sort of agrees, like we can trust them, but we don't have that right now. Like politicians, organizations.
So I'm saying cults, man. I didn't even mean to talk about that, but that was like, you know.
I gotta watch that series.
I know.
Is
you
it
know
HBO?
What? Watch it and catch. Yeah. Showtime? Do you have that? If not, I'll
yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. You know how we do that. Yeah. No, but catch up because I'm only on number 3, and then we could like watch it, and then we could talk about it. And be like, oh my god, this is crazy.
It.
Yeah. Okay. What other crazy things did we talk about? Did I want to talk about? This was interesting. This was just like a real quick little video that Ren and I saw on TikTok, aka the place where we learn everything now. Which is funny. Ren was like, man, I've learned more on TikTok than I think I ever did in school. People should just learn on here. Cool. And I was like, well, that's great, but we do need a fundamental education first. So the reason why you can put these, let's not just go to, let's remember our sources and things like that.
Oh,
just a little reminder about, he has to hear all those annoying things like that. Oh, it's the worst. It really is. Okay. So this was a response to this woman who posted something that said, and she was probably like, 17 or 18, something like that. And she was like, I don't get why guys say that they are bad at communicating when my boyfriend can sit on his headphones and talk to people playing video games for like 8 hours, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And then it cuts to this guy explaining communication differences between men and women.
Okay.
And how, you know, one of my mom's favorite books of all time that she was always like, read this, read this, read this, read this. And men and women are very similar where there are, of course, you know, more, what do they call it? In-group differences than between group differences. But she always recommended the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, just to understand communication differences and things like that.
Yeah.
And that, again, not a one size fits all, but generally help. But this one was a reminder from there that this guy was talking about the phrase or the term okay. And I was like, oh my God, I did not know that. And I'm so glad I do. That when they have two different definitions for men and for women, when you say okay, when you say okay, what does that mean? If I say, let me think of, if you respond with okay, what does that usually indicate?
Is this on text or like anything?
Like even in conversation. I'm trying to think of an example.
I think it usually, I often mean it like as in go on, like, okay, I got it.
Okay, so like women use it as an agreement, like yes.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Men use it as a affirmation that they have heard what was just said.
Oh, they women, may or may not agree.
Correct.
What?
And now I've been listening for that. It totally is true.
Why do they do that?
I do not even know, Susie.
But and how would they learn that?
I don't know. But it's worked. I've seen it on television. I've seen it in my own house. I've seen it in other couples. I was like, holy fuck.
So what do they mean, though?
I'm going to have to find this video and post it.
But like, I know you heard me. You have ears.
They mean, okay. Like, but not, like, it doesn't necessarily
that?
Mean. Yes, it means copy that. But it doesn't mean, yes, I agree with you.
What are they doing with their lives, these dumb
dumbs? Isn't that strange? And if we try to explain it, when I looked, Ren and I watched the same video, and he was like, yeah. And I was like,
oh, Lord.
Yeah?
I'm going to have to ask Adam.
And I was like, you will. I'm going to send this video. So I just think these things are so interesting because, and what the whole point was, is this guy was trying to say, the reason why your boyfriend can talk to his friends for 8 hours is because they're speaking the same language. Mm-hmm. We have communication difficulties because we can't agree on a definition of okay. Like we don't, but we don't even know that we're speaking different languages. And so we have to translate everything into, wait, what did you mean by that? What did you hear? Things get lost in translation. There are misunderstandings because somebody said, okay. And the wife was like, what? You agreed to do that. And he said, nuh-uh, I just heard you.
What?
It's so, I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't hear it and witness it a few times enough to be like, holy crap, that is true.
Men and women are separated by a common language.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's like depressing though. Yes. Because we're doomed. We're doomed. I just wanted to be
no,
bitter too.
See, it's so funny. You always go to like, this is so depressing. And I go to, this is so hopeful because it means that we can learn. We can, the same with our brain. When you're like, oh my God, our brain tricks. I'm like, well, we could trick it back. Well, we can learn the language. And we can, when you hear okay, go, do you agree? Or do you, you know.
I'm going to do that.
And then get the answer that you want. Yeah. So science experiment. There
okay.
you go. Yes.
What if, could I, do you think I could trick you into doing a prediction for 2021 against your will?
Yeah.
I have no, I have nothing to make you do that. I just want you to.
Well, I mean, oh God. I don't want to talk about this, but I wrote down what Nostradamus' predictions were for this year.
No!
It's not good, Susie.
Tell me right now.
Oh my God, you didn't see this?
No.
Oh, it's not good. I thought I was going to be like late to the party. First of all, it makes me feel like how accurate was he about 2020? I didn't really do a heavy research in that, but like, because then that would kind of predict. Okay, so the scariest thing perhaps is some sort of hint at a zombie apocalypse.
Stop it.
The quote, here's what it said. It said, few young people, half dead to give a start, dead through spite. He will cause the others to shine, and in an exalted place, some great evils to occur. Sad concepts will come to harm each one. Temporal, dignified, the mass to succeed. Fathers and mothers dead of infinite sorrows.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Women in mourning. The pestilent she-monster. The great one to be no more.
Stop.
All the world to end. Well, that sounds lovely.
Oh, my God.
So,
Sarah.
Yeah, they're saying that it sounds like a weapon that will used to create something that will eventually, turn people to zombies. So, like, I mean, my predictions are better than that. So I felt like if I just, like, set the bar really, really low with his prediction first.
Yeah.
You know, there were also more pleasant things like Earth being hit with an asteroid and a devastating earthquake that he even predicted would be on the date November 25th, 2021.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
Do you think, you know what?
And it says it's going to hit California, too. I mean, if you read into that by the sloping park and great calamity through the lands of the West and Lombardy, like San Francisco, Lombard Street, whoa, the fire in the ship, plague and captivity, Mercury in Sagittarius, Saturn fading, which is...
I feel like Nostradamus would have really loved to play volleyball, if you know what I mean.
For sure.
Yeah.
He's absolutely that guy. Yeah. And I mean, like, let's not, you know, read too far into that. I have different predictions.
Oh, okay.
So, let me think. My predictions for 20. Oh, I predict I get a dog.
Oh, that's a wonderful
Could I
prediction.
Predict that you get a dog?
Yeah, you could predict that.
I think we might both be getting dogs.
Yeah.
One of us is definitely getting one.
And then maybe we could both get pregnant. What if?
Stop it. Susie, that would be the best. I mean, dog, we'll take something to take care of.
Yes.
Dog person. I would love that. Aww. Well, you know what I did? It might be a sign. This might be one of the craziest things I've ever done. It's not that crazy, but I felt the need to do this. And I have never done anything like this ever in my whole life bought something with this kind of like future projection.
Okay.
Ren gave me a pair of old school Vans for Christmas,
cute,
which I love so much.
Yes.
And so now and they fit perfect. And I was like, ooh, I know exactly what size I am. Because there is a pair, one of my biggest, I very rarely regret things in life, but I regret not buying a pair of the Toy Story Vans that came out probably like 10 years ago, must be, maybe 6 years ago, something like that. But I found them. And I found them in my size, and I hadn't seen it in for freaking forever. And so I bid on it, and I bought it for far more than it was worth. And then I went on eBay, and I found the matching little kid shoe. And I bought the same one on eBay. And that was a really good deal. And it was brand new in the box. And so I bought matching mommy and baby shoes. And God. I have never done anything that nuts. Why would I do that?
That's the only mommy and me fashion that I will support.
Toy Story shoes, Suze, you're going to die. They're so stinking cute. And they're like perfect boy. I mean, not like I would care. I put my kid in pink shoes no matter what. But they're like light blue. It's the Andy Toys ones. It's the cutest thing in the whole universe. And I'm just going to like keep them in a box. And then I just had the thought in my head of like, oh my God, what if my feet swell when they're pregnant? I don't even care. I'll just wear that shit with no socks or I'll just have to like find it in half a size bigger. I didn't even think first, but let's hope I don't have that as a reaction.
Oh my God.
But so maybe, because that's a weird thing for me that I've never done before. I just thought you know, if I'm going to get it, I can't. I'll really regret it if I didn't get it now. So,
okay.
Basically,
if
Vans
like
comes out with your favorite movie themed shoes, you should definitely buy them.
And
pull
that
the
means
people.
You're probably going to have a baby.
Probably. So I hope, let's predict that.
Did you tell Ren you bought those baby shoes or whatever? Kid shoes?
I did not tell him that.
What would he say if you told him?
I don't know. What do you think he would say?
It would be like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Would it though?
I don't know.
I mean,
he might be real into it. What the heck do I know?
He keeps signing leases with me, so, you know.
Right. Even after all the flooding, he still loves you.
He still loves me, so. Aww. Yeah, even after all
Maybe
that.
If you get him a pair, too.
Right.
Then it's a family affair situation.
You're in. Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
You're in too deep now.
You're in too deep. Yep.
That's
lovely. Did completely unsolicited, like on Christmas Eve, I was wearing my Christmas jammies.
Yeah.
And completely unsolicited, came out and was like, now it's Christmas time. And I was like, oh, you're the best. Because I'll never force somebody to wear them, but I'm going to It's strongly encouraged. And his enthusiasm for it was so appreciated.
Okay. You people that do like the theme jammies.
I love it.
What do you do with them the rest of the year? Do you still wear them?
No. You
Is
know
this
what?
One night
we
only?
Get like a month. No, it's, I mean, for me, I do. It's kind of like a month. I
and
go
then
all
where
December.
Do they live the rest of the year?
In
with the decorations?
Box. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And then when I pull them out, it's so fun. It's like, oh, Christmas jammies!
Okay.
I don't know about the buying them new. I have the same. It's the same one. I mean, I'm working with the same one, well, the last 2 years.
Yeah. You keep it sustainable.
Yeah.
You're not a lunatic.
No, not crazy. I'm not buying new.
Because well, that's what I do I'm always like, where are they putting time. Those? They're, like, I'm worried about my jammy drawer. It'd be too full.
Right. But, like, I think we're assuming that kids grow out of the sizes that they were last year. So then need new pajamas.
Yeah, yours are more long term.
Mine more long term.
And they can go yes. with like the lights and the ornaments and
yes.
stuff.
Yes, we will. We did decide we are going to be switching it up for next year only because mm-hmm. the only pair that was available last year for Ren was a size too small. And so he has kindly been zipping himself into a too small onesie.
I
for
bet
the last
you don't have any
years.
Complaints though.
Zero.
Yeah, right. Work it.
Not at all. Yeah. In fact, in a pinch, when I was running into the kitchen or something to grab some food or like wanted to stay warm, I threw on his onesie and I'm like, oh, this fits me perfect.
Yeah, there you go. Well, because that'll yeah. leave you room. Like if you're gonna have a big dinner.
Oh, yep. And know. We do.
It's like
and
the expandable did. Version. Let's wind yes. it down, Sarah.
Let's wind it down.
We learned that Sarah's calamitous apartment strikes again.
Yep, definitely.
That was no good. I don't even remember what you said about race car predictions. Did you ever finish that story?
Well, we got started about talking about why we like the challenge and things like that.
Yeah.
About how learning something like is more exciting than actually winning money,
and
how recognizing
right.
patterns was more rewarding than even the people who won more money.
Sarah's thinking about joining a cult.
I mean, you
she's
know.
She's mulling it over.
It's mulling. Mean, what are the perks? What are the, you know.
She's very open-minded, that's all.
Yeah, that's it. And we also learned about some really terrifying predictions, but don't you worry. None of them are probably going to come true.
And except instead, for the dogs and babies. Maybe
the dogs and babies.
True.
That'll definitely come true.
But no zombies.
No zombies.
What if
I
it's
really,
baby zombies?
About, well, Susie, that's awful.
That's awful stuff.
I don't want that.
I'm just saying, what if?
I mean, it'll definitely keep things interesting.
They'd probably be super cute. You
a
know how, like,
baby, zombie?
Tiger cubs are
yes.
so cute, and then they grow up.
Yeah. Or, like, cute. I watched The Grinch. Baby Grinch is kind of cute.
Oh.
Even though he's like, mom.
Right,
monster.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, well, leave us a review, you guys.
Yes.
And don't
leave
forget
us a
to
review,
subscribe.
5-star one. Yeah, subscribe, tell your friends. Check out our merch. We mm-hmm. relaunched,
yeah.
what do you call that? Re-brought back, took mm-hmm. out of storage
it's
and
like
dusted
a McRib.
Off. And we brought, yeah, limited time only. We brought back the
Silhouette,
yes, thank you. Sweatshirt. Silhouette Doodle sweatshirt.
Yes. But
you guys love, so check that out.
Right.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys, if you're enjoying this podcast, try giving my podcast, Miraculous Mamas, a listen. Miraculous Mamas is a safe and inclusive place for you to find a huge amount of educational and relatable information about childbirth and parenting with absolutely everything in between. Each week, we discuss important topics, share great resources, hear from experts, and listen to birth stories. All in an effort to bring you reassuring and informative experiences so that you know that you are not alone. That's all on Miraculous Mamas podcast. Look for the podcast link in the show notes or simply search for Miraculous Mamas on your podcast app.